and happy Mother's Day. I started this week with a sermon on Proverbs. That's what we're doing. And Good Morning America every day reminded me that today was Mother's Day, and just kind of a peek behind the curtain. I try to do sermons where I think I won't bawl when I get up here. And if I think I'm going to bawl, I like to have them done by Wednesday, so that way I can try to read them enough that I have almost become numb to whatever I'm going to say. And so I had a lesson on Proverbs ready, really until about yesterday. It just kept at the back of my mind. It's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. How can you not do something on Mother's Day? Mother's Day, Mother's Day. And I broke. So if I cry, it's, I guess, my own fault. It doesn't take much to make me cry. We'll get to the lesson, I promise. But as a kid, I watched Godzilla 1985 on those great big laser discs. And the Japanese, they killed Godzilla at the end of that movie. And I couldn't put behind me all of the times that Godzilla had helped those people against Mothra and then Megazoid and all of those other things for them just to kill him. And it really broke my heart. I can watch a Buick commercial and get a little weepy. That's not a joke, that's the truth. So, we're going to get through this next 20 minutes one way or another. One of us may be a blustering idiot. Me. I think it goes without saying that it takes a very special person to be a mother. Being a parent changes everything, but being a parent also changes with each baby. And here are some of the ways that having a second and third child is different from having the first child. And the first is the clothes that you wear. Now, that first baby, moms, expectant mothers start wearing those maternity clothes as soon as the doctor confirms the pregnancy. They're so excited. That second baby, however, you wear those regular clothes as long as you possibly can before you break down and start wearing the maternity clothes. And by that third child, those maternity clothes are your regular clothes. Easy for me to say, right? Not just your clothes, but your children's clothes as well. That first baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes and you color coordinate them and you fold them and you put them in the nice little baby bureau. And that second baby, you're just making sure that the clothes are clean and you discard only the ones that have the darkest stains. And that third baby, you're looking around and you say, boys can wear pink, right? That's fine. Your worries change with that first baby at the first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown. You are right there on top of that baby. You're picking them up. That second baby, you only pick it up when it wails that threatens to wake up your firstborn. And then that third baby, you have finally taught your 3 or 4 year old how to wind the mechanical swing to keep that newborn going. When you're diapering that first baby, you change that baby's diaper every hour, whether it needs it or not. By that time that second baby comes around, it's, 2 or 3 hours if they need it. And then that third baby comes along and you only change that diaper if other people start to notice the smell or it makes it down to their knees. When you're at home, you spend a lot of time just looking at that newborn first baby. And then that second baby, you spend time looking at it and just really making sure that your older child isn't squeezing or poking or hitting the newborn baby. And then the third baby, you spend a little bit of time every day just hiding from your children. And you will spend the rest of your life doing the same thing, just trying to hide from them. Well, Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit that they produce to wash their faces, or for all the old gum that they've held in their hands, all the noses that they wipe, and all the bloody knees that they have made well with a kiss. This is the day that mothers are rewarded for washing all of those sheets in the middle of the night, for driving kids to school when they have missed the bus, and enduring all of the football games in the rain. It's Appreciation Day for making your children finish something that they said they couldn't do, for not believing them when they told you that they hate you, and for sharing the good times and the bad. And their cards probably don't reflect it, but what they are trying to say is thanks for showing up. Irma Bombeck once wrote that for the first 4 or 5 years I had children, I considered motherhood to be a temporary condition, not a calling. It was a time in my life that was set aside for exhaustion and long hours. I believed it would pass. And then one afternoon, with all three kids in tow, I came out of a supermarket pushing a cart where all four wheels were going in different directions, and my toddler son got away from me. And just outside the door, he ran toward a machine holding gumballs in a glass dome. And in a voice that shattered glass, he shouted, "Gimme, gimme." And I told him I would give him what for if he didn't stop shouting and get in the car. And as I physically tried to pry his body from around the bubblegum machine, he pulled the entire thing over. Glass and balls of bubblegum went all over the parking lot, and by now we had attracted a sizable crowd. I told him he would never see a cartoon as long as he lived, and if he didn't control his temper, he would spend the rest of his life making license plates for the state. He tried to stifle his sobs, and as he looked at the ground, he looked and began staring at the crowd. And then he did something that I was to remember for the rest of my life. In his helpless quest for comfort, he turned to the only one he trusted his emotions with, me. He threw his arms around my knees and held on for dear life. I had humiliated him, chastised him, and berated him, but I was still all he had. That single incident defined my role. I was a major force in this child's life. Sometimes we forget how important stability is to a child. I've always told mine that the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up every day for it. Well, moms, they really are something. And I've often wondered if there was a single man on earth that could stand up and dare to say that he could fill a mother's shoes. And I would also say that God help the poor man who is dumb enough to do such a thing. Over the last week, Megan got her own place in Springdale, and as I said before, I'm a pretty weepy guy. I also like to pick emotional scabs. I don't know what that says about me, but Megan got her own place in Springdale, and I found myself, when I was alone, listening to that song, "I Hope You Dance," as many possible times as I possibly could. And I like to think in my mind's eye, I could visualize myself saying those words to my children. And I thought about those first times that I held them, those moments after they were born. And I can still remember the hope that I had for them and for their future. But no matter how much hope that I had for my children, it could never come close to the hope of the woman who carried them and gave birth to them. In my mind, I can still see that look of pure, holy love that came across Missy's face when each of them were placed in her arms. She probably doesn't remember that look. But I know many mothers here today probably understand that in the deepest corners of their heart. That song says, "I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. I hope you never take one single breath for granted. And when you get the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance." Well, moms have that sense of knowing when things are a bit off. They can give words of encouragement when you need them. And of course, my own mom has been a place for me my entire life. She has been an anchor, a never-ending source of love that I know that I can always depend on. We got through it. How about that? Have you ever spent time and watched a room full of children? You know, if one of them falls down and skins their knee and they have the choice, they get up and they run to mom. If they are ever proud of something they have ever done, they look up to see if their mother was watching. If they ever feel left out or sad, they always go for mom to cheer them up. Children depend on their mother. They know they can count on her. And in the same breath, as children of God, we need to understand that we too can depend on Him. God's love for us is the only love that we have that truly surpasses a mother's love. If you look over in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28, there Isaiah writes down the words, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Our hope, of course, is in the Lord. And we know that He will not grow weary. God is an anchor that we can depend on. He will never leave us or forsake us. And He loves us so much that He sent His only Son to die for us. And I say these things, and the men here have a general understanding of what I'm talking about. But women truly understand those words. At around 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, a man by the name of James Lawson of Running Springs, California, left home to apply for a job. About an hour later, his 36-year-old wife, Patsy, left home for her fifth-grade teaching job down the mountain in Riverside, California, accompanied by her two children, their 5-year-old girl named Susan and their 2-year-old named Gerald, to be dropped off at the babysitter's. Now, unfortunately, they never got that far. 8.5 hours later, the man found his wife and daughter dead in their wrecked car, upside down in a cold mountain stream. His 2-year-old son was just barely alive in the 48-degree water. But in that death, the character of a mother was revealed in the most dramatic and heart-rending way. For when the father scrambled down the cliff to see what was sure to be the cries of his dying wife, he found her locked in death, holding her little boy's head just above the water where he could breathe. For 8.5 hours, Patty Lawson held her beloved toddler afloat, and she had finally died. There, her body was almost frozen in death in that position of self-giving love, holding her baby up so he could breathe. She died so that another might live. And truly, that is the essence of a mother's love. Life has a way of throwing curveballs at us. And more often than not, we choose to go down a path that God has not chosen for us. And when we begin to make choices in our life without checking with God, we go off on a journey down a long, dark path. The Bible tells us that God has plans to prosper you and not harm you. But He also loves us enough that He gives us the ability to make our own choices. This may come as a surprise to some of you, but I used to think I knew it all, that I had all of the answers. And I think even as my kids still get older, I have learned to respect my parents all the more. I just can't fathom how they were able to release someone like me to make my own decisions in life as I got older. And I guess it was probably more because they trusted Missy. But I think they knew from experience that I was going to make some wrong choices. But they loved me enough to allow me to do that. In a lot of ways, God is the same way. God definitely has the upper hand on experience. But He loves each of us enough to allow us to make our own choices, even though He knows that some of them are not going to be good for us. And yet, even with this, He still tells us that He will not grow tired or weary, and that His understanding no one can fathom. I will never understand why God would love me enough to continue to be there for me in my life. I will never understand how He can look at me and still love me. And yet at the same time, I understand that I don't have to understand. God loves me because I am His child. God loves you because you are His child. And He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be the one that you come to in your times of trouble. And He wants to be the one that you come to in your times of joy. Through all of the trials and tribulation, through all of the ups and downs, through all of the times that I have disobeyed, God still sees me in love. He is the anchor that holds. He is the one who will always be there. He will renew my hope and cause me to soar. I don't have any doubt in my mind that I have broken God's heart many times in my life. I don't have any doubt in my mind that I have broken my mother's heart in my life as well. But it was during those times that my mother's love for me, and certainly God's love for me, was proven all the more true. Through the storms in my life, that is where God proved His love to me. Paul said it this way, but God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Someone once said that in the midst of storms of life, which are always going to rage, there is always the peace of God. Now this morning, I am in no way trying to elevate a mother's love to the heights of God. But I find so many similarities in their love. And for this, I think we should all extend our hearts to each of you. The magnitude of a mother's love sometimes overwhelms me. You all are so underappreciated. You are all so taken for granted. And today I want you to walk out of here hearing these words, that we love each of you, we thank each of you, and you are all so very appreciated. Thank you for holding us, for mending us, for loving us regardless of who or what we are. Thank you for really meaning it when you say that everything will be okay. Thank you for the times that you have stood beside us when absolutely no one else would. Thank you for being the one that would never leave our side. And of course, we want to thank our moms for all of the second chances. This morning, as we close this morning, I want each of you to take a moment and reflect on your storms and your anchor. Do you have an anchor? God, in His great love for us, He sent His only Son to die so that we might have eternal life. God wants to be the anchor in your life. He wants to lead you through all of the trials and tribulations of your life, and He wants to give you peace in the storm. But as I said, He also loved us enough to make that choice. And this morning, that choice is yours become a child of God, to come and give your life over to Him. And we encourage you to do so as together we stand and we sing.